This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922.
Not the result we were looking for. I'm proud of the players, the way they battled, had some guys go down. Guys gave it all they had, and we came up short.
Pocket collapsing, fires, and it's complete for a first down, but the ball is fumbled by Shakir, scooped up by Houston, and coming the other way.
Yeah, it's not fun. I got to be better throwing the ball away and living to see another down.
Steps up in the pocket, pocket collapsing, and he's wrapped up, and he's going down for another sack. Way back at his 35-yard line.
23-19!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody, it's Buffalo Bills football, Monday and a Friday. Whatever.
Yeah,
the fact that the Bills got absolutely dominated up front is also unusual. Doesn't happen as often. So here we are on a football Friday, we'll call it, and we'll chat with you about the Bills game. Their loss to the Texans, 23-19. Houston gets their third straight win over the Bills. Josh Allen sacked a career high 8 times. Yeah, 8 times. First time in his career. And I'm being told he just got sacked again.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. The joke is right there. I have to go for it. Wait.
Yeah. Use that one in your at work today.
And another one. They just had another one.
Yeah.
We're up to... No, sorry. Well,
how was it only 8 is my question.
You know?
Does it feel like it was...
100?
Yeah, 100 of them? I mean, 8? It was only 8?
I had on 2 of them him writhing in pain. So,
man, the amount of times I thought, like, he's down.
Yeah.
Like, this is something. And then I'm sure he has something.
And
I'm sure he is you know, in rough shape this morning.
Yes, yes. Which is not unusual for the season. It has been a season of Josh getting beat up. And, I mean, I'm sure, like, we'll have our share of things to talk about every element of this game and the season and the context. 803-0550. Jump in with us. Let's go. Let's have it. One of the things I want to think is Josh the same guy?
Is Josh the same guy?
Is Josh Allen the same guy? Uh-huh. You want to go mentally? You want to go physically? I want to ask that question. Because who on earth thinks he can turn backwards and run away from Will Anderson?
Mm-hmm.
Why does he think he can do that?
Mm-hmm.
Did he used to be able to do that?
I mean, he did do it against Miami like 2 weeks ago.
Okay, that's Miami.
Right.
And he runs away from... Had you scouted this team? Have you seen their rush and their defensive ends? In what world are you ever going to turn your back? Man, yeah. I'm going to go to a...
You're talking the one where he's like, he gets to the sideline and he signs the... And that's when you could throw it away.
Yes.
That's why he does it. It's because it's third down. His option there is... I throw it away, or I try to get away again. Like that, or, those are his only. Unless he's forcing a ball to someone who's probably covered.
Or try an arm punt. Is anybody down there for an arm punt? Yeah, I would settle for an arm punt.
Chuck it as far down the field as possible.
An arm punt might be 30 yards better than what they do out there. I mean, he continues to look like the guy that turns back here and there, and just like, is he the same guy? I remember a time when Josh Allen stiff-armed Aaron Donald in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the same guy? And it's not exactly his fault if he's not. But to the Bills, this kind of gets to the breaking down of Allen. Is he losing a half a step? Is he losing some stuff? Because did the Bills just think that their quarterback was going to be the kind of guy that should throw 300-pound men to the ground with regularity and then be like, yeah, that's fine. That's who we got. That's the plan. The plan is for him to stay Superman all the time and we'll be fine. And he is not that right now. Last week, he looked like that, largely unpressured and made a bunch of great throws and a couple great runs. But what we're getting at now is the Allen that had kind of eliminated negative plays. Last year, barely any turnovers and 14 sacks on the year. The number of negative plays out of this world. Now what do you have? Now you have a guy that does throw picks. And takes a ton of sacks might be wrong because the league standard might be different. But for his standard, he gets sacked all the time.
Yeah.
Do you know what his sack rate on third down is? 15%.
For what, the season?
The season. 15%.
Wow.
Pressure on third down sacks. Benjamin Solak had that stat.
I mean, he is nearing his, will he set his career high in sacks? He is at 28. On the season, which is already the third highest of his career, 28 sacks, and there are 6 games to go. So he's going to be up there in that number. I think this is kind of what there wasn't the plan. McDermott, the way he sounded last night after the game, multiple times, like, this is an unhealthy way to go about it. Having Allen get hit 12 times was the number he was not happy with. And to me, like, that is a result of not what they planned on, but you accidentally backed your way into him having to do more and having to, you know, try to create things that sometimes will result in negative plays because you went about it the wrong way, building an offense where he doesn't have to do all that.
Right.
Because while Cook got the big run early on, you were getting behind a lot on first down. Like, you were getting 2-3 yards. Now it's second and long. Or maybe you were even throwing a screen that went for negative. They had a lot of negative plays, I feel like, in this game. Either it was run game or the screen game, or sacks, of course, too. And when you get put behind like that constantly, then that's when Allen's got to do more, and that's when he gets hit. Especially against a team like that. So I think they did this to themselves, in part. I don't know if yesterday, though, was yesterday the receiver game for that, or was it just the line could not hold up?
Well,
like, I haven't seen yet, like, how long was Allen taking? Was it Anderson, like, and Hunter getting through because they needed to give the receivers an extra second or two? Or was it just, no, those guys were getting through right away?
Right, like,
because it seemed pretty quick.
Time to throw?
It seemed quick watching it.
Yeah. Well, I'll find that when I can, the average time to throw. What was this game? This game was a coming together of if you play a great defense, you're going to get bodied. You're a great offense against bad defenses.
Yeah.
You can be a great offense against patsies. But what does Houston have in common with Atlanta and New England? Miami does not have this. But the other games they've lost, they have corners that can cover. And
right.
What I mean, not even like cover average receivers, but cover good receivers. They can swallow up anybody the Bills have on the outside. So, like, I don't think the entire game comes down to receiver. But what I think it does come down to, and this is where it's like, how is a team going to play you? What do the Texans do? Put 10 on the line of scrimmage in single high safety and think, like, we have no fear.
Yeah.
The Bills have been an offense where the only player to fear has been Josh Allen for, like, is this the third year? Second year?
Two and a half year,
the only player to fear is Josh Allen. And right now, he looks like he's got to run scared. I don't know. I guess
the good news is I don't think that you will have to worry about a team or a defense like that unless you run into Denver in the postseason, because that pass rush is definitely the best in the league. And even if Houston makes the playoffs, Bills are going on the road.
Right.
The Bills are going on the road. So the teams that we got to start thinking about are Denver, New England, Indianapolis, and then either Pittsburgh or Baltimore. And of those five teams, the only one that I think has anything close to what you saw last night by the Texans is the Broncos. If you see the Broncos,
they're nasty.
Yeah. It could look like last night.
Yeah, for sure.
You see any of those other teams, and I don't think it'll look quite the same.
Well, the Broncos will likely be home in the opening round of the playoffs. The Bills are also bad on the road.
They are 11-12 since the start of the 23 season on the road.
Joe Brady's offense is 11-12 on the road.
And into Dorsey a little bit. But, okay. I mean, that is almost three full seasons now where they have a losing record on the road.
Mm. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. You have a series of factors playing in very predictable offense. I mean, how many games are we going to watch where a national commentator is watching the game saying, like, man, they do the same thing all the time?
Yeah, Nate Tice yesterday was the one where he's watching the game. Nate Tice is the Ringer, right? No, Yahoo. And he tweeted out, like, somewhere in the fourth quarter that all the Bills ever do on third down is run mesh. It's all the mesh concept where guys are crossing. They're running mesh on so much on third down, and they're using five-man protections, made them so predictable. And then 20 minutes later on the last play of the game, fourth and six, what did they do? Exactly what Nate Tice described.
Yeah.
We think the Texans didn't know that was going to happen.
And why does the team run mesh?
Because
they need to work to get somebody open?
Yeah.
Because they can't get somebody open.
Right. That play, they were purposely trying to. I mean, Davis didn't sell it very well. The design of that play is Davis is going to run into the guy that's covering Dawson Knox, and that's going to make him open. And that's what there would have been a penalty in the play. If he had thrown it to the right guy, Knox is wide open, then it would have come back offensive pass interference. They would have got another try at it.
Yeah.
Maybe they would run another hook and ladder or something. But that, right, like their plan
was to cheat.
Was kind of to cheat and hopefully get away with it.
Yeah.
And Davis just destroyed the dude, so it was too obvious.
Let's set an open field block for the tight end.
Right. That was the play.
Yikes.
Yeah, Stingley, did they target Stingley at all in this game? They did one time that I remember, and it was the Davis play at the end where he almost got the second foot down. That's what's funny.
It was a good catch.
3 inches away from they've got first and goal, and they probably win the football game. Maybe they win the football game.
Are they going to get those 3 yards? Their short yardage is not too good.
What would their win probability have been? First and goal at the 3? 89%?
Yeah.
Around there.
In any game ever played, maybe. In this offense against that defense, are you sure they're getting 3 yards?
No, I'm not sure. That's why I said I'm not automatic, but yeah, they would have had a good shot.
This game is in the 11% of losses there, maybe.
But that play was the only one I could remember them going at Stingley. Otherwise, like, just they couldn't. Yeah. A lot of their plays also were... It was one of two things. They either didn't get the ball in the air because Allen got sacked, or they were the screens, which I think are driving people nuts.
Have an early text that the Bills should have gone 5 wide, but the receivers aren't good. I want receivers that come up with more food. A little everybody eats shout out.
Do you think they could block?
No.
Yesterday?
It almost never happens. This is a game where the thing I'm watching is how on earth are you going to go empty backfield as often as you did?
Like, I might have thought going into the game you could.
Sure.
Like, Dawkins and Brown is the one of the strengths of this team. And you're going up against Anderson and Hunter, it's like, all right, I got two tackles that can do that. But by the time you got to the second quarter, it's like, that's not happening tonight.
Right.
So, no, I can't go five wide.
And
I got to have guys chip. I got to keep backs in to protect. Like, I can't just go man-to-man there.
You probably can't even chip. What you really needed was, like, Dawson Knox and Jackson Hawes in the backfield going max protect. But, again, the problem with that ends up being that your receivers are not going to get open on the outside. If there are only two receivers in the formation because you're on max protect, then, all right, you're going to look and see if Josh Palmer can uncover or Tyrell Shavers, who did not get a target in this game, can uncover. So, man, it was a tough game. It was a tough loss. I, like I always do, thought the whole time, the Texans are not pulling away. They're going to win this game. They kick the field goal on 4th and 10. I'm like, they're going to get this ball back. They're going to be just fine. And then 4th and 27, they gave you a gift. A gift! They spent the whole day punching you in the face and stealing your wallet. And then on 4th and 27, they decided to just like lay down and back off. What a gift. You know what they should have done?
Well, it would have been fine as long as the one guy that was covering Palmer didn't went way too far inside.
Sure, fine.
That's the guy they fooled. There was one guy in the Texans they fooled. Although, to be fair, when you back off like that, it only takes one guy getting fooled. I thought for sure they were going to win the game after that.
Mm-hmm.
How could you not? I mean, you converted a 4th and 27. I was waiting for Herb Street, by the way, who's like, they've never seen that. That never happens. You cover college football for a living. That's the only place you've ever seen it. Boise State. Say it. He never did.
He flat out said he's never seen that before. Have you watched football?
You are a college football broadcaster. Come on, man. I thought for sure they were going to win that game after that happened. There's a lot of things to get to that are more of an annoyance. I'm not sure this will come up, so I want to get out now. I was almost furious when I saw them not come out and tush push for 4th and 1.
Of course.
4th and 1, you've got a timeout in your pocket. There's 25 seconds left. Get yourself to first down at the 15, and you can run three plays. And you guarantee, you know, as much as you can guarantee a tush push, you can guarantee yourself, I'm going to get three more cracks at this.
Yep.
And they never were intent on doing that at all. I don't know what they were going to run. Maybe they're going to run the same thing on 4th and 1. They ran a 4th and 6. But they should have just ran to the line and tush pushed and called timeout.
That's the
and
false.
You would have had first and 10 at the 15.
The false start on Dawkins. Yeah.
Yes.
Without a kick return touchdown, are they a double digit loss?
No, because it was a wash. If they don't return the kick, Houston doesn't score a touchdown.
Well, I mean, if they don't return the kick, the Bills go 3 and out and kick it back to Houston, who scores?
Houston would have no timeouts with like 50 seconds left. They're not going hard.
No, I mean in the first
half.
They had no timeouts. They went 6 plays, 75 yards on the ensuing drive.
Yeah.
In a minute 48.
I'll look back. I thought it was not a bad thing, but I thought getting the kick return touchdown, you should not have let them march down on you like that, but it took a minute 38. Did they use timeouts along the way?
I don't know, but that drive they started running the ball and not thinking they were going to go down the field and score a touchdown, and they did. Anyway, we're all over the place, but that's okay. I'm sure a lot of you will be as well. Bills lose. The AFC East is, yikes. Great day for the Patriots yesterday.
Yeah, they used two timeouts. They used a minute 38 out of a minute 43. I mean, a 3 and out.
Right.
You're taking some time. I don't think Houston was scoring if the Bills go 3 and out.
Right.
I think the score would have been the same.
803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Let's go to Dan in Buffalo. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want to start off by saying, wow, what a defense Houston had. I didn't get a chance to see Houston until yesterday.
Yep. Did you, Dan, find yourself kind of remembering like, oh, wow, that's what that looks like, a nasty, amazing defense. I've seen them before, but it's been a long time.
Yes, and I feel Houston and Seattle have the two best defenses in the league. You brought up a good point about they should have went with a tush push or cook up the middle, and they would have had three shots to the end zone. But this might sound a little old school to me because I'm 50 and I don't believe in going for it all the time. When there was 10 minutes and 30 seconds to go in the game, Houston was not going up and down the field the way Baker Mayfield was. I would have kicked the field goal when Cook got stuffed on that long 4th and 1. We would have only been down 4. because the next drive we stopped them. We went down and kicked a field goal. Now we would have only been down one, and we could have kicked the game-winning field goal. I just felt like the way the flow of the game was, our coaches don't recognize Houston. They were playing lights-out defense. They weren't marching up and down the field at us.
No, they're going three and out. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. in that moment.
I know a lot of people are like, this new world of football, go for it all the time. I would have kicked a field goal, and we would have only been down 4 points with 10 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan.
All right. Thank you.
They had a decision later in the game that they did kick the field goal, and I've got like the ESPN or the Ben Baldwin numbers on this, what they should or shouldn't have done.
Did they not like the field goal?
No, it was fine. It was actually the right call. Yeah, yeah. On fourth and 10, it's a field goal. The one that Dan's talking about, fourth and one, 10-14 remaining, down seven, and at the 23, that was...
It was fourth and 10?
The one Dan's talking about is fourth and one, where Cook got stuffed.
Right.
Now, Cook got stuffed after running the ball four straight plays, trying to check himself out of the game because he's tired.
Yeah.
And they put him back in, and he ran on fourth down and got stuffed because Osiris Torrance got blown up. On that one, it was a 5.4 plus 5 win percentage. Go for it. On the kick, the field goal, the numbers of Ben Baldwin, if you want his, I mean, there are a bunch of different models, whatever. You could go Gutalytics all you want, too. I mean, a missed extra point is a big factor here. If they don't miss an extra point, you could have kicked both times and been tied. Mm-hmm. But in both cases, by the numbers, they did what they probably should have done for win probability, if you care. You don't get to hang a banner for that, so I apologize. I'm not going to give you a ring that pops open and says, you did the right field goal call for win probability. Anyway, thanks, Dan, for the phone call. Mo in New Jersey is up. Hey, Mo.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
This was a victory Friday, but it's just not. I called yesterday. I don't trust this team, especially on the road, and the road ahead is going to be on the road. We're not winning the AFC East. When we got that gift on 4th and 27, I thought we're actually going to do this. Like, we're going to steal this victory, and, just – to lose the way we did is very deflating. I'm not one of the guys. I've learned not to get too high, not too low. The way things are going this season, I think that we are just wasting yet another year of Josh Allen's prime. And I did not expect him to get sacked 8 times last night. I thought our offensive line was a little bit better than that. And then, granted, I give all the credit in the world to Houston's defense. Their defensive line is incredible. Going forward, we're not running the table, right? I know we talk about if we run the table, we're going to face another defense like this when we play the Eagles, right? Their defense is almost as good, if not, not want to say better, but almost as good. And, that's another loss right there in my eyes. So we got to start looking at, even if we're going to make the playoffs, I think we will make the playoffs, but like, what are we going to do?
I'll try to, hopefully with what you'd think you could do is if we don't run into somebody like that, we might be okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, and there's only so many teams like that. I mean, I thought that last night, though, like, isn't that the thing that Bean has been chasing for 7 years now?
Oh, yes.
He's been chasing what Houston has. That type of game-wrecking pass rush from two dudes.
And maybe
they've never had anything close to what we saw last night.
No, maybe they tried to sign Danielle Hunter when he was a free agent. He signed a 2-year, $50 million deal with the Texans. And Will Anderson was the third pick.
Right.
So
you weren't getting him.
That's it. Joey tweets in, the defense only gave up 23, but they couldn't get to Mills, and they need to throw that safety blitz into a black hole. The safety blitz did work really well on at least one play.
Can I say, too, Mills and the Texans pass game, like, this was first half probably a little bit more. They left a lot on the meat. They left a lot of meat on the bone.
Tons. It was Higgins. Yeah.
They had Higgins four doesn't get a five foot down, plays that should have been converted.
Absolutely. He was 2 yards light on every throw.
Higgins was 4 for 38 on 9 targets. And I want to bet, like, of those 5 incompletions, right, it was a foot just out of bounds here. That actually happened in the end zone, too, with him. Or
Mills hit the defender.
Max Hairston in the back.
Yep, that could have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they did leave a lot out there.
The part of that is that Mills is not a very good quarterback.
No.
You saw that. Like everyone saw that yesterday. Like, he is very inaccurate.
It was, though, to this point, exactly about what the defensive line was able to do. It was the lowest pressure rate the Texans had allowed since 2023.
Yeah, wow.
A team that is known for its disaster of an offensive line
right.
had a fine day against your defensive line. Right.
So they lost this game in the trenches. I don't think there's any doubt about that. 803-0550, a bunch of injuries as well, and short week. Listen, respect to Spencer Brown, who's battling, playing hard, playing through it, and had to ultimately come out of the game. We'll see how long he's going to be out for. But, man, it's tough. Real tough. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, it is Buffalo Bills Football Friday. It is not a victory Friday. It's a sack parade Friday. We should title it something.
For the bad guys.
Yes, that's right. An absolute sack parade for the Texans. We'll get your calls in. What you think of this team now, if it's any different or if it's just, listen, that's the nightmare matchup. And as long as you don't see them again, you know, you don't have to see that again. 803-0550, our number here on WGR.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Allen throws it over the middle. It's complete to Palmer. Hook and ladder, and they're going to get the first down. Up the sideline is Shakir, and he's out of bounds at the 26-yard line. The hook and ladder, baby.
Your player of the game is presented by Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield. Highmark is the official health plan of the Buffalo Bills because life. Khalil Shakir with 8 catches for 110 yards. Those were both game highs in the loss to the Texans. Going to get right back to the phones, though, at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, the numbers to get on board. And we go to Abraham on a cell. What's up, Abraham?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to hear you guys talk a little bit about Ray Davis and the kick return game. And one question on that. I wasn't able to watch the game last night. If they're using him on punt returns or not, and maybe the differences between punt and kick returning. I know he did really well in the kick returns against the Buccaneers as well.
Yeah, fair question. I'm going to pivot to the special teams ace here and let him handle the differences between kick and punt return.
The primary difference is how easy it is to catch the ball and feel the ball. Kickoff, it's very easy to catch, and you've got a lot of space to do it, particularly in this day and age. There's nobody standing around you. You just got to wait for the ball. Nobody can move until you catch it. So it's no pressure. Catch the ball and let's go. Punt is 180 degrees from that. You have no idea who's coming down there. You can kind of hear them. Sometimes you can peek at them. But the more you watch the guys covering the punt and how close they are, the less time you get to catch a ball that's dropping out of the sky and maybe tumbling, maybe spiraling, coming at a steep angle, and it's really hard to catch. It's coming hard. Punts are hard to catch, and you got no space to do it in, and you got no protection. So there's the difference. Kickoffs.
And why might a running back, position-wise, not be a great fit for punt return?
Well, they can be. It's because I tell you this all the time. punt returning is, yes, it's about fielding the punt and being able to run with it and all of that. But if you're a candidate to be back there, you've already got all that, right? That's a given. That's the floor. What makes you better and better and better is your ability to, one, A, always do it 100% of the time. You always catch the ball. You always end the play with the ball in your possession. You always, and the second thing is make the perfect decision. You always make the right decision. Shakir made a really good decision on a punt return last night where the ball bounced. Two guys were down on the goal line. They were going to down it. He caught it on the bounce in front of them. After they had gone by it, he ran in front of them, caught the bounce, and got an extra 6 or 7 yards and turned that into maybe a 15-yard swing in field position. Those kind of decision-making things are what you do. Some guys do that really well, and some guys just never get it. You can bet the reason Shakir is back there is because of his sure-handedness, first and foremost, his ability to catch the ball and end the play with it. Now, it flies in the face of the fumble he had last night, but that was on a pass, not a punt. That is always job one. When a special teams play happens, the object is to end the play with the ball in your possession. That's the floor. Everything you get after that's gravy. And it comes from the decision makings of the return man.
Yep. Let's get back to the phones and to Michael in California. What's up, Michael?
Hey there, guys. How's you? Sorry if you've already spoke about this out in Cali. I'm a little bit behind the telecast here. But I've got two things I wanted to hit up. Number one, it felt like some home cooking last night with that play clock going down right at on the final drive. To me, I couldn't understand why they wouldn't just stop the game and correct that, because you look at all what Josh has to do. He has to get the play in from the coaches. He's got to convey it to his team. He's got to get the team lined up and set up. He's got to read the defense. And then he's got to set his protection all while he's also dealing with crowd noise. And now he's got to count the 40 in his own head. That seems like crazy to me. So if you look at that one, I think it was second and third down. They ran two plays within 15 seconds because I bet they felt panicked on the inside. They didn't know how much time they had left on the play clock. That's not fair. If the head ref hadn't gotten injured, he probably would have had to wherewithal stop, let's fix the clock and give these guys a fair chance. But I don't hear anyone talking about that, and it felt like it really made a difficult thing hard. You're playing against the number one defense in the world, and now you don't have a play clock. Not cool. Second thing I wanted to bring up was, I'm sorry, everyone's going to talk about it today, but Chris, you nailed it. Defense is slow. They're small. Brandon Bean, my gosh, we had a chance to – we keep whiffing on some of these drafts, I'm sorry, man. Keon Coleman, I thought he was the dude. He's not the guy. I remember that now his name is it's escaping me. The defensive back cornerback that we whiffed on as well. He's gone. There you go. Thank you, guys. So I don't know, man. It's love this team my whole entire life. I'm out here amongst all these Rams fans, and they're all kicking me in the teeth today, so I'm not real happy about it.
Yeah, anyway, I get it. I get it, Michael. Keep on keeping on. Stay strong out there. As Steve always says, you're a pilgrim in an unholy land. The play clock was a problem at the end of the game. It was not functioning. I usually call the play clock when it's down under five to our listeners when I'm calling the game. I was unable to do that. The referee that filled in as the head ref, Roy Ellison, who was the umpire, he said, obviously, they're going to keep time on the play clock on the field, and they were going to try to communicate it to the offense. But with that noise, I mean, if the ref is shouting at the quarterback 10 seconds, I don't think there's any way in hell he's hearing that.
Right.
Now, all of that being said, I think it was only about a 3-minute window in time where the play clock was down. They did get it back working again
while
the Bills still had the ball.
Right. I think it was maybe two or three play. I don't even know if it was three plays where there was no play clock going. And you're right. Home cooking. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, man, I wonder what it would take for a team to sabotage the play clock in a moment that when it's really important.
I'm just going
to. But what better time to do it? No question.
Right. I'm just going to say this, though. The Bills have had a persistent problem through the course of this season where plays get in late. It's been more frequent on the road And it happened more than half a dozen times last night where there are late substitutions. They're not breaking the huddle until about 11 or 12 seconds left. And that just speeds everyone up. Moreover, it gives the defense an advantage because they know you have to snap it when there's 2 or 1 second on the play clock, and they already have an inherent advantage at home with the crowd noise benefiting them, and they could just look at the play clock and not even listen to your cadence and know when to take off. So there are a multitude of reasons why you have to get the play call in quickly and get up to the line. I mean, heck, Jared Goff's career changed dramatically with the LA Rams when Sean McVay got there because he was calling plays so fast, it allowed Goff to call the play in the huddle, get up to the line of scrimmage, and Sean McVay could still talk to him in his headset to tell him what the defensive coverage was before the communication device shuts off with 15 seconds left in the play clock. He would literally get him up to the line at 24, 23 seconds so he could talk to him for 8 seconds and tell him what he was looking at.
Yeah. Yeah, that does make a difference. No question about it.
It happened a lot last night, half a dozen times, including the fourth down at the end of the game.
That's not for nothing either. And I'll say this. I thought at times last night they would get benefit out of going faster as an offense. The Bills would. Yeah. Now, it's hard on the road. I get it. But when you simplify your language, to go fast, you got to simplify your language, right? You got to start naming plays and formations. But you can't, you know, you don't shift and move as much as you do when you're going fast. Particularly, and then when you abbreviate your verbiage, you also make it more difficult to add motions, add shifts. But you also make it that much more difficult for the defense to do the same, to sugarcoat and to give you what, you know, to disguise. And plus, you get them on the field, you get them going fast, you take some starch out of the pass rush when they have to go 3 or 4 plays right in a row. I saw a first and second down happen, and then all of a sudden the Bills are in 3rd and 8 or whatever, and all of a sudden now they're bringing in the front four. You know, they take them after the Bills get one hard-fought first down. The top-flight pass rushers, they all go to the sideline, sit for 2 plays, and on the next 3rd down, they're right back on the field, fresh. That's a problem. I think you go fast once in a while on these defenses to see if you can get an edge. At least if you don't substitute, you can go as fast as you want, and they won't hold the game up. And that's something I think the Bills need to have an answer for when they go forward. At least have that in their toolbox to going forward. I wish they would have gone to it a little bit more last night.
Yeah. Let's get back to the phones here at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. And let me see who's been waiting here the longest. We go to Michael out in Ohio. What do you got for us, Michael?
Hi. My point to the call screener was look at what was actually working last night for the Bills, and it's when they did the quick release passes, the short passes, and I'm thinking what Tom Brady used to do to teams. And I think if that's what they used to do is keep like a quick defense like Houston. If you keep doing that from the beginning of the game, that's your primary thing. You basically keep them on the field and you wear out a quick defense. And actually I remember all the way back to when the Bills were in the 4 Super Bowls. And there were teams that they would do that. I mean, when you've got a quick defense, but they're not necessarily huge, you can wear them out by keeping them on the field. And they were having success last night with those kind of passes, even the one that kind of Shakir dropped. Okay, but he caught some of them too. And so I just wanted to run that by you guys, see what you think.
Yeah, all right. I was in favor of that. I was hoping going into the game that they would use the offensive approach that they did in the Chiefs game here at home a few weeks ago, there was a concerted effort to get the ball out of Josh's hands quickly. And it worked very well, pretty much from start to finish in that game. I think this defense is a step up in weight class. I don't know that they would have been as successful, but I think they certainly would have had more success. And I certainly know that Josh wouldn't have been sacked 8 times and hit another 12 times. And they did it on occasion. I don't think they did it nearly enough last night. That should have been the focal point of this offensive plan, in my estimation.
Yeah, and they did quite a bit of it, no question. But they could not, because you're right, they couldn't drop back 5 steps and throw the football. He couldn't get it off. And so you got to have answers for that. And the quick passing game seemed to work for them. But you start teaching the defense things really fast when you do that, and it's not very long before they start jumping in, jumping routes. I think that's one thing you can be afraid of. But if you can't drop back to throw it, you've got to do something.
Yeah. And even if you had what amounted to a level of overconfidence in your offensive line that your 5 could block their 4, it became patently obvious early in that game that that was not going to function well. And they had to make another adjustment there, and for the most part, they chose not to. And I understand you want to get more people out in routes when they're dropping 7 so you have more options for Josh, but you also have to keep Josh from getting killed. And I think there's a balance there too, and I don't think they struck it last night. Got to take a break here. More of your phone calls when we return, including the numbers that matter. Coming your way next here on One Bills Live on a Buffalo Football Friday. Stay with us.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
World, maybe you and Chris were rolling your eyes when I said that to you guys last night during the roundtable. I don't know, but how in the world do you watch that game unfold and not give those guys some more help than they did? I that's the most frustrating thing to me about the game by a lot, is that I missed on expecting them to perform better, but that there wasn't a plan in case it went badly.
No, I'm with you. And I said that throughout the broadcast, like, okay, we need to adjust the plan. They did at one point. I remember two chips, one Dawson Knox in particular, Knox Will Anderson. He goes all the way around the defensive tackle to try and find a new rush lane. Well, that just gives Josh an easy escape out to the right. They had a nice play there. And I said, well, okay, we'll get back to that. And oftentimes you don't need a double chip. Sometimes you do, but oftentimes you don't need a double chip unless it's a really long developing route, because like we've talked about here on the show so many times, it often takes two guys to get a sack. Like, two guys got to win as defensive linemen for there to be a true sack on the play, unless it's circumstances. I'll just say that. If it's third and long and quarterback's trying to make a play, okay. But like a first, second down, normal third and medium, it generally takes two guys. So if you chip one of the defensive ends, now the quarterback's really only worried about one of them. With that chip, we essentially get two double teams. So two guys only have to win a one-on-one. Well, last night was a different animal. Those two guys were flying off the edge. It seemed like they were able to jump the count consistently. You know, Josh Allen talked about the fourth and one play with the call coming in late and them just being right at the edge of that play clock. Well, the defensive line, good defensive linemen are in their stance or they're in a two-point stance watching the play clock.
Right.
Like, okay, well, you got 3 seconds left. Whatever's coming, there's your count, and I'm jumping it, and it makes it extremely difficult on those tackles, especially when it's a silent cadence on the road where you're all going off the same movement of the center or guard. And so, yeah, those guys wreaked havoc last night. I said it on the roundtable. I thought they were the best duo, not individually, the best duo of edge rushers in the NFL. But I also would say that we have one of the best tackle tandems in the league. And last night they beat us. Now, part of it, Spencer Brown hurt his shoulder, and good on him for gutting it out there. But that's a really tough matchup with either of those guys if you're playing with one arm.
Yeah.
And you could tell he was. So you give a guy credit like that. I mean, Spencer Brown's been paid very well in this league. If he bowed out, no one would say anything, but he's the type of guy that says, I'll try and grind this out. They ended up taking him out late for Ryan Vandermark, and we'll see what Sean says in regards to if he's day-to-day, week-to-week, or whatever else with his updates today. But, yeah, those guys, they give a lot of teams fits. We just gave them a lot of opportunities, and then you combine that with the fact that for a lot of the game, we didn't have great early down production, and we're in obvious pass out rush situations where those guys can just tee off.
You tripped a wire for me with the fourth and one and the play coming in late, because that maybe that's a factor in one thing I noticed looking back at it. Because I know those plays, you know, they tried to throw out of that and it didn't work. And so it's like, why not just give the ball, to sneak it? Why is Cook not on the field? So they hand it to Cook and it gets blown up. Looking at that play from behind the Bills' offense, right? So end zone view behind the Bills, it's plainly out. There's nobody in front of McGovern on that play. And I'm trying to figure out in my head why Allen doesn't just see that and take the snap. You don't have to tell anybody. Just follow McGovern. And maybe they could have a sign. Maybe you could tell us if that's something that you'd have. You know, some sort of tap he can give him or whatever. But even if he doesn't, like, it's just green in front of McGovern. Is the play getting in late maybe a reason why he doesn't feel like he can pivot to something else?
Certainly, that could be the case. And we've been through this. I've never played in Joe Brady's offense, so I actually enjoy that because I never feel like if I'm making a take, I'm ever giving away the company secrets because right. I'm not in the meeting rooms with them and I never played his offense. From past offenses I've played in, you always have some type of, oh my gosh, they gave us this look, and you'd get under center, make a call, and the receivers, nobody needs to know it except for the quarterback and O-line. Like, we'd run that at times, and the running back's fooled. He's on his track to his, you know, run. The receivers are out blocking like it's an outside run or whatever it was, and then we just run the sneak for first. The most egregious one ever, and one of my favorite plays of my career, we had 3rd and 7 against the Eagles at home. That was when the Eagles had the dream team. Ryan Fitzpatrick's our quarterback. I believe this is 2011.
Sounds right.
And it's 3rd and 6 or 3rd and 7. They have only Nnamdi Asamoah in the box. He's covering Fred Jackson because at the time he was our leading receiver. So he's the only one in the box. We have 2 wide 3 techniques. And Fitz walks to the line of scrimmage like he's going to point to the mic. And our QB sneak at the time was called Doug. So he taps me and he goes, Doug. I'm assuming he's under center at this point. I snap it like it's an under center snap. He follows me. I block Asamoah. He runs for 9 yards and we seal the game. I mean, if that fails, Fitz is booed out of the stadium. It's 3rd and 7. And we run a QB sneak for 7 yards. I say that to prove a point that in most offenses, you can get to that.
Yeah, I'm looking at it again just to refresh my memory. Not that the whole game comes down to this, but you know, it's a fourth down and they're in scoring territory there, right on the edge of it, right on the edge of the red zone, I think. And I just don't, I can't fathom why something else didn't happen there. Like, I understand a different play call being made, but on the field, I can't understand what happened there.
To your point, in the moment, I felt like that was likely the game. It was just so hard to move the football. You're down in their territory. This is a defense that gives up 260 yards a game. We have terrible field position the whole night. It was going to be tough to score points. And I thought there we needed seven. Like, when we didn't get that, I did not feel good about our chance of winning. I understand we had other chances. But in that moment, I felt like you did, where it's like, well, there's the game, because that was our opportunity. We needed to do that. And forever, New England, when they were rolling with Tom Brady on 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1, they had one play call that essentially could be three different things. The play call was a QB sneak. If everyone's packed in, alert, alert, it's an off-tackle run. As soon as we think you expect that, it's either a play action or even back to the QB sneak. So it might be a fake alert, whatever it is. And then they would get back. And that's from talking to coaches on their staff. They're like, we essentially had one third down call. It could just be three different things.
Eric Wood on the Wester Hotline. Eric, what's the, in your mind, the state of the union here after that loss? I mean, I'm not sure you'd find it shocking. You know how it, you probably know how it is in here. I think the caller we took last before talking to you referenced the Titanic. I don't know if you would go that far, but
extreme.
It's extreme. 7-4 though. Next week's game got a lot bigger at Pittsburgh with this loss. New England, Cincinnati Sunday will be watched closely. Pittsburgh, Chicago. Like, we're sort of relying on the other teams now a little bit. But just within the Bills, how much stress is there, or even panic?
I don't know that there's panic, because they've been in this position so many times over the last 5 years. And it's worked out. So you think, okay, we could do it again. I would say there's not panic, but there's an extreme sense of urgency. Like, okay, our margin for error on wins and losses is out the window. I would say this year, maybe even more than previous years, based upon injuries and the makeup of the roster, our margin for error is less just within a game than it usually is. You know, it's, you know, in the past, it's, we had a couple turnovers, we overcame it. We had a bunch of penalties. We overcame it. We had terrible field position, and the offense went for 500 yards. Right now, I just feel like with the offense kind of on a roller coaster ride, the defense being banged up and having their struggles, if special teams has a bad week, if we get a bunch of penalties, we have a couple turnovers, we just don't have as much a margin for error, if that makes sense. And so I would say there's a lot of urgency. But we have so many guys that have been in the locker room when we were 5-5 a couple of years, or what was that, 2 years ago.
6-6.
And yeah. We've been, 6-6. We've been in similar positions and come back to win the division and all that. And I think collectively as a Bills fan base, and myself included, we thought last year of Highmark, all the continuity and everything we got coming back, we want to host some playoff games in the final year of our stadium. And the fact that that might not end up being a reality, I mean, it hurts. To the point where this isn't going to happen. But one of my son was born on January 11th. We could, if we were hosting a playoff game wild card weekend, we would host a playoff game on his birthday. And one of his Christmas wishes was to bring his friends to a Bills home playoff game. Like, my son just assumes we host playoff games every year, because we do, because we have, pretty much since he's been alive. But that's not going to happen, just for the record. That's a very expensive birthday trip. But all that being said, I think all of us are thinking, wow, we might not get a playoff game at Highmark in the final season at the old stadium.
Yeah, right. We spent a lot of time in the summer, you know, when we would, you know, get into conversations about that Jet game, the final game, you know, not knowing it's the final game because of, you know, the playoffs. That's on the ropes right now.
Ticket prices might be going up on the Jet game.
Right. It's really, really tough.
Yeah, they could be going up, and then, you know, who knows what happens? You get the dance. The AFC is so wide open right now. You know, Denver doesn't look unbeatable. Colts don't look unbeatable. Kansas City's on the outside looking in right now. You feel like if you get in the dance and you get hot, you could if we don't have critical injuries down the stretch, I have full confidence that this Bills team can come out of the AFC if they get in the dance, even if they have to go on the road. But there could be upsets to where they end up hosting playoff games there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's been on my mind since last night's game ended, or even before it ended. Like, what are we looking at here? Because it's always two things. It's always the standings, but also, do they look like a team that can really do it? And last night, they did not. I mean, not being able to protect the quarterback is kind of a new one for them, for all the other challenges that we've seen this year. Defensively, like, I don't know if they can hold up. I thought, Eric, last night, I don't know if I want to, you know, expect you to sort of go with me on this, but in the first half, Mills was off on like every pass. And he had guys, he completed four maybe, but it was just like not happening there. Like, you have to win here. And the last drive of the first half was, I mean, I just couldn't believe it that Houston was able to score so easily, even with like they burn a timeout with the clock stopped at 12 seconds or 8 seconds, whatever that was, and they still score. Like, Cam Lewis is falling down. I don't know. I mean, I'll try to spin it the other way and say that, like, so many of the Bills' losses these last few years, they're right there. 4th and 1, minute left, down 4. Like, I wouldn't want to have bet against them in that spot, but it didn't happen. So I think if you look at it that way, at least, you can be optimistic.
For sure. And, yeah, Davis Mills starts the game 1 for 8 and then goes 7 for 8 to end the half, and they go into the halftime with a lead. And, no, I'm with you. I mean, this team doesn't generally lose the backup quarterbacks. They don't generally lose to Tua. Penix has a career game against us. But then you see flashes from this defense. You know, the second half, they give up 3 points. That's only off the Shakir fumble, and they forced – 4 3-and-outs in the second half. Like, it's good football. I mean, that's what you could say, like, that's what you should do against a backup quarterback. But over the last couple weeks, Davis Mills has had 280 yards plus in both games, or 279 plus in both games. So, capable thrower of the football. But it's just – it's the defense, just like the offense, is kind of a roller coaster ride right now.
Yeah. Your opinion on that Houston defense. I said earlier, Eric, I don't watch, and I'm sure you don't either, every game every week, right? This whole window where the Bills have been a championship contending level team. But that's maybe the best defensive performance I've seen in any game that I've watched in 5 or 6 years since the Bills have gotten to the level they're at. I mean, that was just all levels, right? I mean, the secondary, taking it away, punching the ball out on Shakir, like you referenced. Up front, the tackles were good. The edge guys are elite. I mean, that was really something to watch.
No, they're an excellent unit. And not even in a creative way. Now, they did play more downhill. They had some more run blitzes on first and second down when we got in heavier looks than you generally see from Houston's defense. But from top to bottom, they are complete. They are excellent at corner, both of them. They are excellent off the edges. Best duo of corners in the league, the best duo of pass rushers off the edge of the league. Their linebackers are built for this day and age of football where they can fly around. They're a little undersized, but they get in passing lanes. They're active. Safeties are good. Their nickel is one of the top nickels in the league. He was out for the game.
Right.
But when he comes back, Petrie, when he comes back, he's great. I thought the weakness was their defensive tackles, but they're both active to where they can rush the passer. If they move, they can beat you. They're not going to run right through you. You know, we saw Tim Settle here.
Right.
And you know, he wasn't a factor with us. And then Sheldon Rankins, he was a top 12 pick
out of my college, Louisville. Good player. You know, he's drafted right when the undersized Aaron Donald defensive tackle became popular, probably overdrafted, if I'm being honest, even though I really like him. But he's bounced around some. But, you know, he's a smaller guy. And so you think, like, okay, well, we could take advantage of that, but they're so good at all three levels, it's hard to take advantage of those two defensive tackles.
No conversation of ours with Eric Wood this time of year would be complete if not some reference to or question about the Thanksgiving weigh-in contest. So
I like it.
Are we doing that? What's the plan this year?
I'm not sure. Probably not. I'm down in Florida with the family. I travel every weekend for work, so I'd love nothing more this weekend. My wife won't tune into this. I kind of like you guys will tune into the broadcast. My wife's tired of hearing my voice anyways. But I would love nothing more than to sit in Louisville this weekend and do nothing. My wife wanted to get out of the house, which I completely understand. So we're going to spend some time out in Florida. We come back Wednesday. I don't know. It depends. I just feel like I'm going to eat and drink for the next 5 days. And come Thursday, I'm not going to want to stuff my face and see if I can gain 15 pounds. But we have talked about, me and Richie have talked about having a reunion and getting our families together for Thanksgiving like we always did up in Buffalo. But I will say we miss our Buffalo holidays because we always hosted at our house. And you get people from all over the country and people with different backgrounds and everyone's got a different style of Thanksgiving or Christmas and they bring different dishes and everyone has a blast. And I will admit, we definitely miss those times.
Yeah, you know, right? I mean, I think that that's probably the thing about being an ex-player that you would miss the most is, well, it could be anyway, just that sort of camaraderie with teammates and friends and everything. So not to make it sad. Well, enjoy Florida. Happy Thanksgiving, Eric, and we will talk next a week from Monday.
Sounds good. You guys have a great Thanksgiving as well and a great rest of the week.
Thank you.
Thanks, dude. Eric Wood, his appearance here on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at Northtown Kia.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Fields it at the 2, out to the 10, 15, coming up the middle, 25, bounces off a tackle, spins, and he's out to the 40, cuts it back, 50, he's gonna go the distance! Happy birthday, Ray Davis! All the way for a flip into the end zone for a touchdown!
One of the highlights of the game, brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. It is Buffalo Bills football Friday, kind of football Monday. They play the Thursday night game. And for the second time this year, a primetime game that will lead to a elongated break is a maddening loss. First, Atlanta, right? We had to sit with that for 2 weeks because of the bye.
Yep.
And this one you have to sit with through the mini bye because they lose to the Texans. Josh Allen sacked 8 times, lost 70 yards. We'll get to Sal at the top of the hour coming up at 8 o'clock and chat about it with you. What did you think of the Texans' uniforms?
I like them.
Okay.
I like them. I don't like their navy. Their navy's boring to me. I'm always anti-navy with teams. So you give me all red. I think the chrome helmets work too, don't they?
Maybe.
I'm into them. I like them.
All right, fair enough.
By the way, Ray Davis, after that return, it's funny, 2 weeks ago, the Bills signed Mecole Hardman. We talked about how kind of the Bills' numbers in the return game have not been good all year. Ray Davis now leads the NFL in yards per return.
Sweet.
After the last 2 weeks.
Well, good job by Ray Davis there. 803-05, 52nd straight game for Keon Coleman being inactive.
Yep.
And McDermott's answer was a little bit of everything. To say short week, get him in the game plan, doesn't really hold up. Elijah Moore was posted into the game plan this time.
No.
Right? Like he was, but he did not dress last week. He did dress this week for Curtis Samuel's role. He had one catch for minus 3 yards.
McDermott did get around to eventually answering with, we went with the guys that give us the best chance to win.
Right.
Which, that's kind of, did he really say whether, he got asked specifically, it was an extension, was being inactive an extension of the punishment for missing a meeting, basically. And I don't know that he fully went there. I guess he kind of left it open-ended. But he did get to best chance to win the guys that we had. So I don't know. I'm still skeptical that he'll get back in because I think it would take Shavers or Davis going out. And did we see something yesterday that should have that happen? Should Davis not be active because he only had one catch yesterday? I mean,
he's got to be in there. He made one nice play.
He played the second most snaps, by the way. 55%.
Yeah. Well, give us your thoughts on it. 1-888-550-2550. The thing I've got for you today is that I just think that this season, whenever it ends, however it ends, if they don't make the Super Bowl, if they make the Super Bowl, which, you know, stranger things have happened, and they're still a good team that played really poorly last night, then this doesn't apply. And you might, Joe, you said like the AFC Championship game appearance, this might not apply. Mm-hmm. Anything short of that, I think it'll be Universal's wrong, but I just think that the temperature is really dialing up. And the fan that thinks, I'm a reasonable person, I would thank Brandon Bean for a job well done and thank Sean McDermott for a job well done. I think more and more people, it's inevitable over year, are being pushed to a new set of eyes. Someone else, somewhere in a very prominent position, needs to be a part of the next chapter.
And I don't think that just moving on from the offensive coordinator will suffice a lot of those people. Like, that's a big change, but that's not quite the change, I think, that you're talking about McDermott or Bean, right?
I'm just saying, without even saying it would happen or what the idea would be, I just think that it is starting to really teeter critical mass towards something's got to change. Something's got to feel different.
But that's what I mean. Is the coordinator enough for that? If people get to that place, is Joe Brady being gone enough for that?
It depends. I mean, is it another first-time coordinator? Is another hire from within? Is it Brian Daboll? I mean, I don't know. Right. I don't know. We're kind of just guessing how people will react in a month or two. But that loss last night is tough. And Dennis in Lockport. Dennis, good morning. You're up.
Hey, good morning, guys. I love the show. Hey, I'll tell you what. There's some things to look at here. We're lucky Josh didn't get hurt, as bad as it almost looked like it was going to happen. But I'm sorry. Our offensive coordinator, you know what? Yeah, you know you got the number one defense you're going to be playing. You view the game plan. I'd rather see DeBole come back in here, get the Josh Whisperer going back on, because he had an offense that was scary. The other part is, when it comes down to Bean and McDermott, McDermott came here as a defensive guru or defensive-minded coach. We have yet to have a defense that's worth even watching.
Well, I don't agree with that. I mean, he's had a lot of really good defenses. I mean, prior to, you know, the entire secondary like kind of aging out, he definitely had several really good defenses. Maybe not in the playoffs, but he's had good defenses.
Well, good, but not the type you're going to go to a Super Bowl with. You're going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs with or the Philadelphia Eagles with. And, you know, they keep going after the same old guys.
hey, how did this draft work out? How did all the offseason work out? And honestly, Babbage being our defensive coordinator, I don't see it. He's another reason I think they need to do some cleaning too, because there's a guy who's been found out.
Thanks, Dennis. I just, you know, you could say McDermott's a defensive coach. I think Sean McDermott is piecing together a defense with players that are not all that good. I mean, look at his defensive roster. Tre'Davious White, Matt Milano, a limited Terrell Bernard who's also hurt, Oliver out, Hoyt out.
Taron Johnson's got a lot of mileage.
Taron Johnson, Jordan Poyer.
Bosa with one hand.
Right. Like, they are holding things together.
T.J. Sanders is playing out of position at defensive end.
Yeah, it's like this thing's being held together with painter's tape.
And again, they shut – not a great offense. They shut them down for an entire half yesterday.
Right, a bad offense.
You're getting some results.
Yes, the defense did the job. 12 drives, 20 points. You would take that in almost every game you play this year. You should take that. But your offense was not up to its challenge. The defense did not have that tough of a challenge, and they did a decent job.
The defense also bailed them out for the second week in a row on an interception that set up the opposing team like inside the 20-yard line.
That's right.
Or around the 20-yard line. Almost Allen's first pick six, by the way, in a very long time. Because he's approaching the NFL record, and I knew that, and I thought that it was over, and then the yellow flag kept that alive, and then they stopped him.
That's right. The yellow flag, by the way, that illegal block did not have to happen. Like
it was,
That was a bailout for the Bills. That should have been a pick six, and the illegal block brought it back.
Right. So, like, your defense did show up in moments.
Yep.
It's not the best in the league, but commentary of you can't go to a Super Bowl with a defense like that, I believe you can.
Absolutely.
Teams do it a lot.
Be real. Like, who's the defensive guru? Name the person that's going to come in with the 11 players they put on the field defensively last night and pitch a good performance.
Do we think D'Amico Ryans would have done better last night with the Bills roster?
Maybe you could argue he'd have done better. Maybe you could also argue, well,
McDermott would do better if he had Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter.
That'd be a part of it. I was just going to say, like, maybe you could argue that the scheme or the concepts or the skill sets that the Bills want have flaws built in. You could make a lot of cases, but one thing I don't think you can say is that they have this defense that's just laden with talent. It's just not. It's old guys and rookies and
Bishop.
And Bishop. And Bishop's like the second year player. I almost feel like he's a rookie, and he's been great.
Yep.
Randall and Blaisdell. Hey, Randall, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
So, real quick story. Guys were talking about John Wendling yesterday. Golfed with him. Great athlete. Horrible golfer, but I digress.
Did he jump over a car, though, on the golf course?
He didn't jump over a car. So I golfed with him and Jabron Handon. And Jabron, he played well, left after nine holes. John, he struggled. Great dude, but he struggled.
Bad golfer.
But I digress. Anyhow, looking at that game last night, I'm just thinking, is McDermott and company just getting outsmarted by younger coaching staff at this point and just understanding scheme more. I just, my concern at this point is everybody else, as you just said, are we looking a couple months out and coaching staff changes and whatnot? I just feel like we're at like a Tony Dungy point where, we've hit that wall, and do we need to, make that change? I'll listen to your guys' thoughts.
Thanks, Randall.
What was the moment though? Like, I guess he said the scheme. What were the moments last night where you thought McDermott got outcoached? Because, I mean, the offense, you want to say that about the fourth down play call, or you want to yell about they didn't kick a field goal on fourth and one. Like, they also completed a hook and ladder yesterday. So, like, I don't know about, like, if yesterday was the day for, well, they got outcoached in the biggest moments.
I mean, if you're mad at it might be a confirm your priors kind of thing. If you think McDermott is no good, you might call today and say McDermott's no good. I just don't know what you want more from a defense that is missing as many pieces as it is missing. And you got T.J. Sanders playing defensive end.
Right. The only moment I was upset with, like, a defensive, especially, like, coaching moment or game management moment, is that play at the end of the half. I wanted them to drop all 11 players into coverage. Why are they rushing? There's 8 seconds left. They have no timeouts. Stand back there, rush all 11, wait for the clock to run.
What happened on the play?
They scored a touchdown. Cam Lewis got beat one-on-one. Why are you rushing four? The ball's going to be out quick. You don't have time to get to him.
Yeah.
But that was a little thing.
We'll get a break in. Sal coming up top of the hour. Bills lose 23-19 in the House of Pain.
And the offense scored 13. Sorry, the offense scored 12. And then two field goals.
Which is always, to me, like as we remember that fateful day where we talked with the GM about receivers, it was more than receivers to me. It was always, you should never have a belief you're just going to be good again and not evolve. And the Bills didn't look like this offseason they had any vision of evolving offensively. And they haven't. 803-0550 is our phone number. 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, Football Friday on WGR.
Hand off to Cook, through a hole on the left side, bust it to the sideline, 45-40, up the sideline, 35, and tackled out of bounds at the 32-yard line. James Cook is cooking!
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
And they've got him beat on the screen. Shakir racing, cuts it back, tries to shake a defender. He's got the first down. He's up the sideline. 35, 30, 20, and out of bounds at the 21-yard line. Steps up in the pocket, pocket collapsing, and he's wrapped up, and he's going down for another sack. Way back at his 35-yard line. Four-man rush. Allen throws it over the middle. It's complete to Palmer. Hook and ladder, and they're going to get the first down. Up the sideline is Shakir, and he's out of bounds at the 26-yard line. The hook and ladder, baby. Allen back to pass, has to throw it down the middle, and it's intercepted.
All right, some of the sounds last night from Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday here at Studio Capaccio today. Glad you could join me. Got in last night, walked in the door, I believe, at 5 a.m. Went on with the guys and a couple hours later and tried to digest everything as quickly as possible from last night. Wrote arrow up, arrow down. You can find that at WGR550.com. And now it's time for a bit of a reset after, in a couple of ways, after that game and getting 10 days before the next one when it comes to the Buffalo Bills. And also here on the program, going to hour number two. So let's tell you, here on a Buffalo Football Friday, it is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, call the eights, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel, game day ready since 1922. Good first hour. You can watch us on the stream, on YouTube, at WGR550. Thank you very much for everybody who's come in today. Had some fun interaction during the break with a lot of you, but back I go. Back to the phone lines we go. Back talking with you. Paul Hamilton will join me here in this this hour at the bottom of the hour. And tonight, the Sabres are at home to take on the Chicago Blackhawks. And that will be a 7 p.m. puck drop with pregame at 6 here on WGR. Connor Bedard coming to town. We'll talk with Paul at the bottom of the hour. And also ask him just the going to do a little comparison between the hockey team and the football team and how Terry Pegula has treated things over the years, since a lot of you are asking that. Let's go to Don in Southern California, who's up next. Hi, Don.
Good morning, Sal.
Good morning.
Hey, you and I are the same age, so we've been through the ups and downs of these Bills for quite some time. Hey, yeah. question for you. So, you know, what's the communication between Joe Brady and Josh Allen on the side? Never see a headset. You know, he says what's going on. What do those two talk during when the defense is on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have seen them. You're right. I don't see a headset on them necessarily, but I think a lot of times the communication is really from Josh to Ronald Curry, his quarterback's coach, who's in constant communication with Joe Brady, and Josh with his backup quarterbacks. They're all kind of listening in a little bit. He has the ability to talk to him, and I think he does once in a while, but it's really more Josh, I think, talking with Ronald Curry, his quarterback's coach, and other staff members, while Joe Brady is, you know, formulating what's going on for the next drive.
I'm getting to the point where we need to go K-gun, let Josh just run the offense and get us to where we need to be.
Yeah, Don, you know, Don, it's funny. I had somebody say this to me the other day, too, and I actually like the up-tempo. I do think that part of it would benefit the Bills. I thought they should have done that a little bit more last night. But let's just remember here, and I know it's easy to say, put Josh back there, he's a better play caller, let's say, than Joe Brady. It might seem like that. He's not the one game planning. He's not the one that is seeing the still pictures, what they're doing. He can identify stuff at the line of scrimmage, but to actually do that and to go into a series, you have to really understand what's going on. And I'm not here to tell you it could never happen and work, right, Don? I am saying, though, I think there's way more that goes into it to think that it's that simple to be able to do. Do you know what I mean?
I got you. One last thing, Sal. I mean, next week is a must win. I mean, we got a tiebreaker loss now against the Texans. They're in the hunt. The Steelers will be the next one on, potentially. We need this game next week, or else we're in trouble for the playoffs.
Yeah, you got
that's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, you have two straight AFC North teams, and then an AFC East, and then another AFC North. You have your next four games, like the five in a row, counting last night, are AFC games. And if you're going to be in this wild card position, you better win these games for tiebreaker purposes. You're right about that, Don. Thank you for the phone call. We'll go to Nate, who's in St. Louis. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Sal, I got a question for you. You know, moving forward for next year, I hear a lot of other hosts talking about that, you know, that they're not going to make any changes up top. So, you know, what are we going to do in the offseason? How are we going to retool? You know, what changes are they to make? But it's just going back to the 2020 season of, you know, after that AFC Championship game loss, you know, it's always been, what are we going to do in the offseason? What are we going to do next year? And I just oppose to you, like, what do you think do they need to change in that front office and the coaches-wise, or if they're even capable to change, that we're going to see a different result? You know,
I don't know the result yet, Nate. Here's the problem with this conversation. It's not you. It's the whole thing that surrounds it. We everybody wants to get to January and make changes. How about we let's get to January? We don't know that they're going to miss the playoffs or get to the AFC Championship and lose, or get to a Super Bowl and win, which is still possible. We don't know. I can't answer that until we know what happens there, right? If they'd miss the playoffs, sure, I'm all for it. You know, make a lot of changes, because obviously the direction of the organization might need to change. I don't know. But I just think it's so much jumping the gun and putting the cart before the horse. Yeah, you can watch this team now and go, well, they ain't making it. They got to make changes. We're not there yet. There's 31 other teams going through the same process right now as the Bills, 31 others. And really far less than that, who know they're going to be probably in the playoffs, but have no idea, right? I don't know. I can't answer, and none of us can. And can we let the season at least try to play out? I know it doesn't seem great right now. It's 7-4, which is weird to say, right? 7-4. A lot of teams would love to be that. They're 7-4. They're in a playoff spot right now. I don't know. They could get to the playoffs and play Indy and Denver and match up well and go on a run. I don't know. It's unlikely. Not telling you it's likely. Why is everybody so quick to make changes in February when it's November? Because you have an idea of what's going to happen, but we don't know what's going to happen. And that's always the issue that bothers me about this conversation. You know, I mean, what are they going to do about next year? Well, when next year happens, wait till next year. What are they going to do in January? Wait till it happens. I don't know. Let's see how it plays out. You know, I mean, yeah, you can look at salary cap and all these decisions have to be made. Well, guess what? Between now and next year in March for salary cap, even more things will happen that you have to start deciding what is best or not best for the roster. You can't make decisions about March right now. You can't make decisions about February right now or January. If you want to make a change now, you can do it. If Terry Pegula wanted to fire the head coach or the GM now, he could do it. If the head coach wanted to fire the offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, he could do it. You could do those things. But we're talking about, like, at the end of the season changes? Then let's wait till the end of the season. Let's go to Nikki in Connecticut. Hi, Nikki.
Hey, guys. Hey, Sal. Thank you for taking my call, man. I need this therapy.
You got it,
so
you got
I gotta
it buddy.
Say, you know, this season is weird, right? And it's one of those weird seasons because it's not just last night's game. I mean, take the play call timer. You know, it's also the Miami game and a few other things. And the way J17 has just been playing, it almost seems like he's back to his old ways of being too in his head. And I just go back to the fact that every year before this year, right, we've been so close. And whether it's because of a defensive coordinator or because of this or XYZ or, you know, 13, 14 seconds, whatever the case may be, this is why it's so important to make it happen when you can, because you never know when you're going to get the year that you're getting this year. And you never know when that regression is going to happen. But at the end of the day, regression comes down to one person, or maybe two in this case, which is the head coach and the GM. And I think it's time to say, as much as I love McDermott, and I truly do, and I'm grateful for what he's done for the organization, I think it's time to say you're not the one that's going to get us over the hump. It's not you. And we need to figure that out, because right now what we're doing is we're wasting Josh Allen's years, and it's bothering me.
I'll go back to what the previous caller said and ask you a question. Do you think they should do that today? And if you did, would it change anything about this season? Like, seriously, like, you know what I mean? GM and head coach.
Truth. The person that I think they should get rid of, especially after what Josh got caught on camera saying last night, it's maybe not the GM or the head coach, but it's definitely the offensive coordinator.
Okay, but that's not the question I asked, because you said, hold on. But I'm trying to work through that. This is the broader issue and the broader point I'm making. You said you think that it might be time to move on, which is fine, totally fine. What I'm asking you, Nikki, is and what I just made a point about the previous caller is, okay, that's fine, but can we at least let the season play out and then you make that decision? Because you don't know what's going to happen. You just don't.
True.
And you're right. I mean, you could get into the playoffs. You could match up with Indy and Denver and go on a run and, oh my God, Josh Allen, MVP, and everything's a lot different. So when people say that to me, I always think, like, okay, do you think that now, or do you think that at the end of the season, .. if things don't happen differently? You know what I mean?
No, fine. Fair. And that's perfectly fair. And I'm going to answer your question then directly. Yes. My answer is yes, I do. I felt it since last year. I felt this at the beginning of the year.
They should do it today, like right now.
That they should do it today, honestly.
And do you think if they fired the general manager and or the head coach today?
More than head coach. Yeah, more than.
Okay, let's say they fired the head coach today. I don't know who are you bringing in today to be the head coach that would actually do it. Don't say Brian Daboll. He's getting paid by the Giants to be the head coach. I don't think he's coming here to do that. Okay, it had to be somebody
exactly
on staff.
What I was gonna say.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just that.
The
that,
only reason
but,
I say
Nikki,
that is because he's the only
Nikki,
one that's brought his best years.
Okay, but
he's brought his best years to life.
But Nikki, I mean, I can't speak for Brian Daboll. It just seems like a very, 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 very minute chance that would happen in the middle of a season. He's sitting at home waiting for his next move. I guess it could happen, but you'd probably have to go with someone on staff. You know how this works. You fire a coach in the season. Someone becomes the interim coach is what happens with the staff that they're working with. And then does that person get the different result that what you're hoping for? And I just think that that's so foolhardy right now to think that would happen.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. You know what I mean, buddy?
Absolutely.
Now, if Brian Daboll woke up today, Nikki, and went to your house and said, I would take the job, that's a little different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just, in a nutshell, though, it just comes down to just, you know, Josh Allen's getting older, and we've been fortunate to not,
I get it.
Thankfully, not get him hurt. Even though, if you ask me, I do think he's playing hurt this year. We just don't know the whole story. But it's a waste.
I get it.
A waste.
I understand, Nikki. I'm going to get some more calls. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate your call. No, I understand your sentiment. I think that that's where I land. When people call up, when people do on social, fire the coach, fire the GM. You can do that now. Do you think, and maybe you do, maybe you out there think that would change the trajectory of this season. They're not going to go out and get a GM from outside the building to bring in right now to change this roster. You're past the trade deadline. All of the staff that's been doing all the work on the draft is here. That's this staff. You're going to have to elevate an interim head coach. Again, I don't know. If you want to talk about the Brian Daboll equation, we could do that. But I just think it's a non-starter at this point, you know, for something like that. But would it change? Maybe it would. Maybe people feel like, no, Sal, that would be a different voice and different direction. And, hey, I mean, we saw it in hockey. We see it sometimes, right? Long season. Blues went and won a cup when they did that. I think a couple teams have done that in the past as well. In football, it's just it's different in at this time of year to do something like that. I guess it could happen. I just don't think it changes now. You have to wait till the end of the year, and then all those concerns and questions and calls could be very valid. AJ in Hamburg. Hi, AJ.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. First time calling into your show.
Okay.
I just have a few points I wanted to bring up about the offense and then maybe post question after. But, I mean, my main frustration, you know, last night, that you could point to a lot of things, but it's that third and one, fourth and one. It seemed like we were in that situation a lot of times. And you look at a team like Philadelphia or, you know, any – And in a situation like that, Nick Sirianni says, you know what, we're gonna sneak it twice. You got to stop us. What are we doing? We're getting too cute, as the coach wants to say. We're running it up the gut with James Cook, so Josh Allen has to take four steps back, so James Cook can have to run 6 yards to get one. And it's just incredibly frustrating when you see in the beginning of the game, we run that sneak, and we get it with ease. Josh makes a terrific play. It's like put the ball in his hands. That's what you need to do in those situations. And time again, we're straying away from it. And it's because that Kansas City playoff game, it broke Joe Brady. He thinks that we can't do it. It's like, just do it and force your will on this team. And then, you know, on top of that, just with Joe Brady, you know, everyone wanted to point the finger at Diggs. Oh, he's washed. He's this, he's that, because of that second half fall off. Well, look at where we're at now and look at what Diggs has done. I mean, he went to Houston, he balled out, then he tore his ACL. Now he's playing very well coming off a torn ACL for the New England Patriots. And meanwhile, we're here saying everybody eats and trying to, you know, make this offense work with no number one target, because that's Joe Brady's philosophy and how he thinks it'll work. And it's panned out horribly. And, you know, at this point, I think, like, if there isn't some systemic change going on, you know, at the end of the season, I know what you've been saying to these other callers, I'm just saying that, you know, I just think nothing's going to change. And one last point, I mean, this D-line, we have invested 5 years. We put in premier assets, premier money into this D-line, and it's amounted to nothing. Like, absolutely nothing. I mean, it's just so incredibly frustrating. And I want to hear your thoughts. What are your thoughts on, you know, the Diggs and Brady situation? Because I just think that, you know, Brady – I think now it's proven that, you know, we were wrong with, I think Diggs said, choose me or Brady or McDermott or Vaughn.
But we don't know that. No, we don't know that. I don't have any reason to believe that at all. I just think that the relationship wore itself out between the two sides. I would say this, AJ. I don't know if it's Stephon Diggs. I think they miss a guy like that, though. And I think, though, his personality was weighing on the organization. That's what I would say. I think on everybody, on Sean McDermott, on Joe Brady, on Josh Allen. Like, that's my read of it and how things ended here. I don't think it's choose me or him. I don't even know if he wanted to be here anymore. I have every reason to believe he didn't want to be here anymore. I mean, seemed like the year before that he was trying to get out and he didn't. So I don't want to go that far. But I do agree, AJ, that it feels like they need a guy like that. And their approach since then has been, we're not going to have a guy like that. But now you kind of need one, right? I think that's where you're going with this. And you don't have that critical guy to make that play. And this number one guy who, you know, can win in all situations. So I don't disagree with that part of it. So I just, but yeah. So anyway, so I agree with that part of it. I don't think it's him specifically. But yeah, a guy like that could really help this offense. By the way, I mean, Tyrell Shavers has this great game on Sunday last week. And then this week, I mean, he's hardly heard of. I went and did the snap counts, and he wasn't on the field that much. He was on the field for 39% of the snaps, 26 snaps. He was the fifth wide receiver on the field, Tyrell Shavers. I don't know if he would have helped. maybe not the way that the pass rush was and what they needed personnel-wise, but it just felt like, you know, that could have been a guy that could have helped you after what you saw last week. I'm not really sure. And that's another issue where you say, is that that's Joe Brady who makes those calls, and him and Adam Henry, their wide receivers coach, going through the process of the week and who's on the field and what situations. Let's go to Jim in North Tonawanda. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, Sal? Long time, no talk. Listen, I don't want to waste any time. I'm going to get straight to the point. The first thing that needs to be done before close of business today, Brandon Bean has got to take a look at these healthy players. There's 31 other teams in the National Football League with practice teams or practice squads, whatever they're calling them now. And get some healthy players in here. Figure out who's banged up, who needs to go on injured reserve. And you automatically upgrade your team by bringing in healthy bodies. And the second thing that he should do before close of business today, get a list of the top five defensive all-star players in the from the United Football League. Bring them in tomorrow morning for a tryout. We got the Bills got nothing, everything to gain and nothing to lose by doing it my way. It's just try. All I'm saying is give it a try. And if these five guys from the United Football League don't pan out, cut them. Get rid of them. But give them a tryout. Let's do something. Shake the system up a little bit. Think outside the box.
Okay. I'm going to totally disagree with you on that, that would actually help. But, hey, I guess anything is possible. Yeah, every team does have a practice squad. You know who else has a practice squad, Jim? The Buffalo Bills. And they have healthy bodies they can bring up. And those guys are more valuable to this organization than some guy that doesn't know the system. And by the way, anytime you bring a practice squad guy onto the team, whether it's your own or someone else, it actually does cost on the salary cap to start paying them. And you're going to have to do it either way, you know, whether it's somebody else. They do every day go through the injury list. They do every day think about who needs to go on IR. They just put a guy on IR yesterday before the game, Mecole Hardman. So, you know, I mean, hook shoot. UFL, XFL, European High School League. I don't know. Is that what you want, Jim? I mean, maybe you think it'll help, I guess. Mike in Rochester. Hi, Mike.
Dale, how you doing? I'm trying not to let my emotions get the best of me today and teetering between this play it out the season versus burn it all down. But here's where I'm at right now. And listening to everybody talk, I kind of share in all of it. But I guess I have a question regarding the blitzing last night. I feel like, and this might just be a subjective opinion, but I feel like McDermott's always done really well with whether it be rookie quarterbacks or backup quarterbacks and just making them not feel comfortable. And watching Davis Mills early on, it seemed like he couldn't really get anything going. And what I don't understand is why did he just rely on the inconsistent pressure of our front four instead of bringing more blitzing to try to rattle him? Right. That to me just it doesn't make sense. And then when we needed to get a stop later on in the game and we did blitz, it worked out perfectly and we got the ball back and we were able to kind of have a chance there at the end. That's number one. Number two, with respect to the offensive line struggles last night, what's happened to bringing in guys like Alec Anderson? I remember being at the playoff games at home, and it's like number 70 is reporting is eligible, and we're always bringing in another guy to help Chip and to just give that extra protection to Josh. It just seemed like everybody at home, everybody knew that Spencer Brown and Deion Dawkins were getting beat except for them. And so I guess I just don't understand why we're not making those in-game adjustments when everybody can see it, and obviously Houston saw it too. That's why they kept doing it. So that's kind of those.
Okay, I'll answer that question for you. Because when Alec Anderson would come into the game last year, they weren't protecting Josh. Yeah, they might have a play action here or there, but it was to run the ball. He was a sixth offensive lineman run, and what they're doing this year is using Jackson Hawes in that role because he's an excellent blocker, as good as any backup lineman, I guess, at least close to it, and he can go out for a pass. I have no problem with that. I think it's actually a good strategy because you can actually show that you're going to run with six linemen because Jackson Hawes can be like a lineman, and then he goes out and catches a pass maybe. I'm all for trying anything different, but it wasn't like Alec Anderson was in for pass protection all the time. They would bring him in to run the ball. Now, I do agree with your other point, though, Mike, which is I would have liked to see a little more blitzing early on, too. But, you know, Davis Mills was very off early on. He was like 1 of 8 or 1 of 9 to start the game. It's like, hey, we don't need to blitz this guy. He's just going to be off. You know, once he started connecting, I think he did hit on like 11 of his next whatever passes, 15 or something. And, you know, maybe they should have started to dial it up a little bit more. I would have liked to have seen that. I agree. I would have liked to have seen a little more blitzing a little bit early, but I don't really have a problem with how they're not using Alec Anderson this year, because it's really just the same. They're using Jackson Hawes, and they're running the ball well. I mean, that Alec Anderson came in to help run the ball last year, not to really be a protector. What's he going to do? Is he going to sit on the outside of Deion Dawkins and be an edge guy? I don't think so. That's not really what his role is or what his job is. But they didn't protect well last night. So, hey, maybe your idea or any idea could work and help out, because they did not protect last night. It was a very bad night for the offensive line last night. Not a good night for the Buffalo Bills. They lose 23-19 to the Houston Texans. They now go to 7-4 on the season. We'll take a timeout here. Paul Hamilton on the way. Going to ask him a little bit about how Terry Pegula treats the Sabres versus the Bills. Get his thoughts on that. Take a look ahead to tonight's game against the Chicago Blackhawks. Connor Bedard and the Blackhawks in town to take on the Sabres. Tough couple of nights for a Buffalo sports fan. Sabres lose to the worst team in the NHL, the Calgary Flames, who come to town and beat them 6-2 on their own ice. And then the Bills go down to Houston and get beaten up physically and beaten on the scoreboard 23-19 to the Houston Texans. We'll do all of that with Paul when we return here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.